So this morning, News Corp founder Rupert Murdoch, his son James, and the former News International chief Rebecca Brooks will appear before British Parliament to answer questions. Also appearing before Parliament this morning, I think as we speak, are two of the top cops from Scotland Yard who resigned recently because of their connections with former editors and executives at News Corp. It appears, though, that this is not just affecting executives at News Corp, but almost anyone who is high in public life in the UK who had strong connections with News Corp and its editors or executives, including Prime Minister David Cameron. He cut short his state visit to Africa to return for the hearing today, and he's confronting a lot of criticism over his connection and his hiring of Andrew Coulson. Joining us this morning, John Burns, London Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. And from what I understand, not just his relationship with Andrew Coulson, who he hired, but also his meetings, his close contact with Rebecca Brooks, and the fact that it looks like he met with News Corp execs nearly twice a month since he came into office.
Yes, not only that, but all of this at a time when the government and regulatory agencies subject to influence by the government was reviewing the biggest media takeover proposal in British history, which was Rupert Murdoch's bid, withdrawn last week, $12 billion bid for the 61% of British Sky Broadcasting he didn't own, and that's Britain's most lucrative and dominant satellite broadcasting network.
We're speaking with John Burns, London Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. As I said, right now, Sir Paul Stevenson, who had resigned from his post as the Chief of Scotland Yard, is testifying. Both he and another assistant commissioner who resigned implied in their comments recently that if they should lose their jobs because they were friends with a former deputy editor at the News of the World, you say that maybe Mr. Cameron, because of his long-term relationship with Mr. Coulson, might also be in danger.
Well, yes, it's not so much what I say as what they said specifically. They said somewhere between implied and said more or less outright, that they thought that being forced, and there was no doubt that's what happened, forced into resignation, Sir Paul Stevenson, the chief of Scotland Yard, and John Yates, the assistant commissioner who conducted an inquiry into the News of the World abuses and decided there was nothing to pursue. They both said, in effect, look, if I have to fall on my sword, our swords, for having a close relationship with a deputy at the News of the World, how come Mr. Cameron isn't falling on his sword for communing over a much longer period of time with the man who was editor of the News of the World when these phone hacking abuses occurred?
Which means the testimony from both the Stevenson and the Assistant Commissioner Yates will be very interesting this morning. John Burns, London Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Also with us this morning, Laura Schaefer-Campos, Director of Shareholder Activities for the Nathan Cummings Foundation. Laura, good morning.
Good morning.
And you are part of a lawsuit, but even more, you're pushing News Corp to change disclosure policies for political contributions. You've been lobbying Rupert Murdoch to create a best practices policy. What's behind all these initiatives?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that we're actually not part of the lawsuit, but we have been focusing on the company's political contributions, disclosure, and policies since last October. And we had some real concerns back last October about what the company was doing. They had two particularly large contributions to the Chamber of Commerce and the Republican Governors Association that really seemed not to be driven by any sound business rationale that we could see, but rather just by the whims of the corporate executives.
So, I mean, the lawyer who is representing the small group of shareholders, of which you're not a part, who are suing News Corp at this point, say that they treated the company like the family candy jar. That sounds like you're almost echoing that.
Well, we were very concerned because there was no well-articulated business rationale behind the contributions that they made, and there wasn't, as far as we could tell, a sound policy in place for oversight and governance of any political spending that the company was doing. And so we couldn't really tell how it was being done and what the rationale was.
If you're concerned about the best practices policies of a company, and in perhaps in line with your foundation's dedication to social justice, democratic values, would it be better just to drop your shares in this company?
Well, we actually don't think that that's a useful strategy in the absence of a capital-constrained market. We think it's much better as a shareholder to actually try and use our voice to prompt the company to make improvements. You know, I think we've seen with the success that we've had so far with the company, which, you know, they did implement some policy and took steps to make some improvements to their oversight and disclosure, that actually standing up and asking questions of the company is a pretty effective way to get them to make some changes.
We're speaking with Laura Schaefer-Campos, Director of Shareholder Activities for the Nathan Cummings Foundation. And your foundation has probably lost a lot of money in recent days. The News Corp has lost 20% of its market value. That has to be an issue of concern as well.
Well, I think that that absolutely is an issue of concern for any shareholder. And I think that, you know, any shareholder out there that's concerned about governance and long-term shareholder value is going to be uneasy about the current situation and really looking to see that the company is putting, you know, all kinds of best practices into place when it comes to corporate governance.
When you talk about best practices, though, are you talking about trying to make ethics part of a business strategy?
I don't think that's necessarily what we're saying. I think we need to see, though, that the company is really focused absolutely on, you know, sound business practices. And I think, of course, you know, corporate governance is always guided to a certain extent by, you know, a sound ethical underpinning. But for us, you know, it's really about, is there a sound business rationale? Because I think in the past it just seemed as though there was an absence of that in many of the political contributions that the company was making.
So you perhaps, or the Nathan Cummings Foundation with you as your representatives, feels perhaps these political contributions were representation of Rupert Murdoch's personal views and not a business strategy.
That's what we were concerned about, absolutely.
And what the response from News Corp?
Well, they have put a policy into place, but unfortunately, I think it still has some major holes and it needs a lot of improvement before it's in line with best practice.
How many shares does Nathan's Cummings Foundation own?
We're actually a small shareholder, about 3,636 shares, I believe.
And which has lost 20% of its value. And
that's right.
Laura Schaefer-Campos, Director of Shareholder Activities for the Nathan Cummings Foundation. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Pushing News Corp to change disclosure policies for political contributions. There is, of course, also a lawsuit from a different group of shareholders who are accusing Rupert Murdoch not just of nepotism, but of using company funds for personal practices.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.